Psalm 119, verse 60. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. In our last sermon, we considered doing what God commands, now or never, from Psalm 119:60. To continue the doctrine that what the blessed and eternal God commands us to do is to be done with all possible speed, with all haste, without delay. So God commands you to act without delay, to yield obedience to his commands. The time is set and commanded by God, as well as the work of any duty itself. God does not only tell you what to do, but he tells you when you are to do it. We consider in this sermon the time as it relates to today. Repent today. The same God, sinner, that commands you to repent, commands you to repent today. The same God that commands you to believe and receive his Son commands you to do it now, at this very instant, today. The same God that commands you to leave your sin and turn to him commands you to do it now without delay. Where does God give liberty to any man to put off his commanded repentance until tomorrow? Show me in the place, if you can, in his word. Much less until you're grown up as a man. Much less until you are old. Yet, this is in the thoughts and hearts of too many people. Do not repent just yet, is the voice of the devil, not God. Let holiness alone for now. This is the language of your enemy and of your cursed and corrupted heart. It's not the voice of God. Where does God say that he allows you to spend this day in a natural state? In what chapter or in what verse is it that God gives you space to reject Christ for 1 hour and to neglect God and your soul for 1 hour? Show me the place if you can. Let God alone and Christ alone, if you can show me. Do it so long as you have leave from God to do so. No. This you cannot do. Will the blessed and holy God give you time to rebel against him? For one day, will he give you leave to do so? No. But I can show you, sinner, one place after another where God commands your speedy return to Christ. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember him. Remember what to do. To obey his commands. To fear him. Remember him. To love him. Remember him to make a speedy and voluntary resignation of your souls to him. Observe in that verse, it is not only said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So, you young ones perhaps may say, you do. And yet, you delay longer, yet a year or two. But make note of this, there is one word more. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. Friends, there is not one of you that can say, tomorrow is the day of salvation, or the next week or the next year shall be the day of salvation. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and the righteousness thereof. How contrary is the commandment of God to the practice of men? There was a man I knew recently that looked first for an estate, then for holiness. And I was told, yet he was under horrible distress in his soul. He was very eager to get an estate quickly, fame and fortune. And yet, after he had done this, he cried, God, forgive me. Hebrews 3:7 and 8, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness. Or Hebrews 4:7, again, he limits a certain day, saying, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, seriously, ponder this, then tell me, is there any room in your delays? As I've given you other reasons, another reason is this. There is no room for your deliberation in this cause, whether you will obey the commands of God or not. And consequently, there can be no room for delay. There's no time to be spent to think whether you should keep God's command or not. There are some things that do not come under men's deliberation to spend any time to deliberate whether or not they are to do them. As for instance, which of you deliberate whether you will eat or drink or not. No man would, except how much they will eat or the quality of the food they'll eat. You can think about those things. But whether to eat or drink at all, you must not deliberate or you starve and die. So the ultimate end of man does not come under man's deliberation. No man deliberates whether he shall be happy or not at the end. Now, such is your obedience to the commandments of God. Doing that which he commands you to do, will you spend time to deliberate whether the blessed God should be beloved or not? Will you spend time to deliberate whether the blessed Savior shall be believed on or not? No. There is no room or deliberation in this case. No man will have the nerve to dare to call these things into question. Now, is there room for deliberation? Yet, is there room for your delay? So much for those reasons that we've presented so far. I will now turn to some application of the doctrine. A use of exhortation. And there is but one main use that I intend to speak about on the subject. That is a use of exhorting you. Must the commandments of God be kept without delays, with all earnest haste and possible speed? Oh, then, beloved hearers, be exhorted in the fear of God without delay to set about the work that God commands you to do. Come, begin this day before tomorrow. Come, for God's sakes, to be persuaded to begin this work this very hour before the next hour comes. Sinner, leave your sins just now, for the eternal God commands you to do so. Forsake your wickedness just now, for the blessed and glorious God give you charge to do so. Turn to God. Believe in Christ just now without delay. Oh, that if I could persuade you to look about you, to be up and doing. If anything in this world requires haste, this does. For your soul's sake, arise and be up and doing. If the devil tempts you to delay, do not listen to him, but say, the eternal God commands me now to repent and turn to Christ. And the safety of my soul work requires that I should do it with all possible speed. If your friends suggest to you, there's time enough yet, then reply and say, oh, that is not true. The eternal God requires me presently to leave off my sins. If your own corrupt and slothful heart should say the same, oh, it is not true. The eternal God requires me to make haste, and the safety of my soul requires me to do this as well. Oh, you young men, consider earnestly that you may not live until you are old. You young children that understand what I say, make haste, for you may die while you're young. You old gray-headed sinner, make haste, and do not delay, for your time is almost already spent. To force this exhortation, I'll urge it with 10 arguments overall. Give you a few now. The danger and the miserable state that your soul is in while you are unconverted requires you to make haste. Your natural state is wretched and your condition is deplorable. Oh, why would you not make haste to get out of that condition? Dangers seen and apprehended usually speed up our hastening. Tell me, sinner, if a bear were right behind you chasing you down, or a lion was at your back, what haste would you make to get away from them so that you're not torn into pieces? If you were in a wild and desolate wilderness that's full of pits and serpents and wild beasts were there, and night were coming upon you, what haste would you make to get out of it? If you were in your bed, and at midnight you heard a voice, get up, awake, your house is on fire. Would you not make haste? Would you say, there's no need of haste, and turn and fall back to sleep again and take another nap in your bed? Behold, your danger is a million times worse while in your sin. Is your soul not better than your body? Is not your soul better than your possessions? And would you rise in haste to your body and your goods and will not make haste to save your soul? And that from hell's flames? Or will you turn yourself like a lazy man on the bed of carnal security and say, let me alone, don't disturb me. There's no need of such haste. In Genesis 19, 15 to 16, in the verses following, Sodom was to be burned with fire, and the people that were in the city, only God could have mercy on. And Lot was there, and some with him. Therefore the angel came to hasten him to get away because of this danger. And this applies, sinner, to those of you who are in a natural state in danger of a worse fire than that of Sodom. And God commands you to make haste, lest you be consumed. But still, you linger and you delay, and God sends to you again, saying, sinner, escape for your life, for your soul. Do not look behind you, after the world and after your sins and lust. Make haste, for it is your life. Yet you say, I'll have fun. I'll spend my money. I'll do what I want, even though your case is very dangerous. Saul, when he was in danger, the Philistines invaded the land, but he got away in haste. When David was coming to Nabal's house, Abigail made haste to pacify and turn away his anger. But alas, what is the danger of Lot to your danger? Or the danger of David, or Saul, or of Nabal's house to the danger you are in? First of all, will you delay and make haste to the commandments of God? God himself is your enemy. There's enmity between God and your soul. Know then, while you are trifling, God is angry with you. The eternal God is provoked by your rebellion against his law. And is this the state to be delayed in? If a great man were your enemy, what haste would you make to be reconciled to him? If a man on whom you depend for your livelihood should become your enemy, oh, how you would try to get his favor again. Would not the thoughts of his displeasure awaken you out of sleep? Psalm 7, verse 11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Make note of this. God is daily angry with you while a wicked man or a wicked woman. Will you break God's commandments? And this is a condition to be continued in when God is angry with you every day. God is angry with the wicked every day in the week, every day in the year. Verse 12. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. Think it through. The angry God has taken his bow in his hand. Yes, he strung it and bent his bow. And he has taken his arrow out of the quiver and put it to the string. And he draws it back to the top. And sinner, if you're the target that God aims at, if you are the bullseye, he will shoot his arrow in fury so that it'll strike you to the very heart. And who shall heal that wound? Tell me now, is this the state you want to continue in? Oh, it is. Because you do not know what God's anger is. If you could speak with devils, they would speak plainly with you. They could just tell you what God's anger is. If you could speak with a damned soul, they could tell you what God's anger is. Oh, if you knew and considered what God's anger is, you would say, oh, this is not a state for me to remain in even a day longer. Take these six properties about this, that God is your enemy. First of all, this angry God is omnipotent. Do you have almighty power? Behold, he makes the mountains to smoke and the earth and devils to tremble. This sinner is he that is angry with you every day. Secondly, this God is omniscient, and you cannot deceive him as to make him believe you are his friend when indeed you are not. Thirdly, this God is angry with you every day. He is an omnipresent God. And then in your distress, will you run to him? Consider, you that will not run to him, whether you can run from him. You that will not hasten to him to a holy submission and a voluntary resignation of yourself to God, whether you hasten from him trying to run away. Fourthly, he is a righteous God that is angry with you every day. You cannot bribe him with your gifts, your silver and gold he will hate. Fifthly, he is eternal too, and he'll never die. Behold, this God that is angry every day with you shall never die. If a man were your enemy, you may die, or else he may die, so you may be delivered from his anger. But this is not the case between God and your soul. God always lives to take vengeance on you. He lives to all eternity to punish you into eternity, to punish you for sinning against him. And even when you die, this does not deliver you from the angry God. No, but it is that when you die, you then fall directly into his hands. Sixthly, and lastly, this God that is angry with you every day, with whom you delay, is an unchangeable God. He will never change to be a friend to you, except you change to become an obedient subject to him and yield obedience to his commands. So if you delay to keep the commandments of God, well, then you have a relationship with the devil. The devil is your father all this while, and you are his servant and his child. And to you that say you defy the devil and all his works, why then do you yet delay to leave his service and work? What do you think? Is this relation to the devil so honorable and his work so delightful and his will, his wages, be so desirable that you so hate to leave him and turn to God? This is certainly true, that there is a relation, a nearness between the devil and wicked men. See Acts 13:10, where the apostle says of a wicked man, "Thou enemy of all righteousness, thou child of the devil." But consider, you that are children of the devil can be made children of God. And will you not make haste to have this done? What if God should say to you at last, you who are in a relationship as a child of the devil and have him to be your father and remain there, go down. Go to your father, the devil, in hell, and you shall have the whole of eternity to be there with him. And while you delay, you are under all the curses of the Bible. You're liable to all the punishments and threatenings in Scripture. And God may, without delay, inflict them all on you, you who delay to come to him. Galatians 3:10. Cursed is he that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. You have not continued to do so much as one thing written in the book, in the law. Oh, then, if God shall curse you, who shall bless you? Sinner, did you ever read this Bible? Or if you've perused this book, have you not seen the threatenings of God against graceless men and ungodly men and delaying sinners? Or do you despise those sayings? And don't make haste when to get out of that condition in which you're exposed to God's wrath. While you delay to keep the commandments of God, you are under the sentence of the gospel as well. Oh, beloved, if the gospel condemns you, where are you going to appeal to? I'm not saying that at this time this sentence is a final sentence. No, until your unbelief is final, this sentence against you is not final. Sinner, come, believe quickly, or else your unbelief will be a final unbelief. Then the sentence of the gospel will be a final sentence too. The gospel has its threatenings, as well as the law, yes, and even more severe ones as well. You that are ready to say, you preachers are too sharp in your preaching when you give us nothing but hell and damnation. But I'm only telling you what I find in the gospel itself, and no more than that, it's such things that Christ has spoken himself. Do you think that we are too sharp and too hard in our sermons? Blame God for that, who tells us what we are to tell you. We do not do any more but tell you what God says and what you must expect, and where you must shortly be if you don't make haste and come away to Christ. Remember, Mark 16:16, he that believeth not shall be condemned. This is Christ himself that should judge you shortly that tells you this. John 3:36, he that believeth not on the Son of God, the wrath of God abides on him. Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Matthew 18:3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Hebrews 2:4, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now, what do you say to all these? Do we speak more than God speaks? Or have we said more than God himself has said? If you can't bear this doctrine, tell me. Why were you not one of God's counselors? And why didn't you advise and direct your maker to make better laws and better terms for sinners than in the gospel which he's given to you? Should your maker ask you on what terms and conditions you would be saved? No, no, no. You must take his terms, or you won't be saved at all. John 3:18, he that believeth not is condemned already. Make note of that sentence, he that does not believe. Ah, poor sinner, you are a condemned man, yet will you not make haste And will you sit still? And will you not come and beg of God that you would be pardoned? All this while that you do delay, all your sins stand uncrossed in the book of God. And is this a safe condition to be continued in? How many oaths, sinner, have you sworn? How many Sabbaths have you profaned? How many times have you derided godliness? How many hundred times have you neglected to pray, to call on God? How many lies have you told, and not one of them forgiven? In this you are a poor, delaying trifler. Do you not know that you must either be pardoned or condemned? And you cannot be pardoned while you're unsanctified and unconverted to Jesus Christ. Well, what will you do when you leave this world and stand in judgment and God shows you the book of knowledge and you find all your sins have not been crossed out in his book, but stand ready against you? While you delay to keep the commandments of God, you are in daily danger of damnation. Friends, are you not reasonable, rational creatures? Do you sit unmoved under the plain preaching of the word? But if those things are true, as you will certainly find them to be true, why do you still delay and not strive to make more a hastening effort to get out of the condition which exposes you to so much eternal damnation? If the word of God is so dreadful, what do you think the damnation itself will be like? Yet, this is your danger while you delay to keep the commandments of your God. What are you in danger of? In danger of a place of utter darkness. In danger of a bottomless pit. In danger of a place of torment. In danger of a burning fiery furnace. In danger of a place of continual torment with fire and with brimstone. Sinner, when you lie down, you are in danger of hell. And how do you know whether you will wake up before you are in hell forever? Consider how dangerous you sleep when you go to bed. Who dares to assure you that you will not be in hell before the sun rises again? Where is it that you can delay and sit at your dinner table and ponder and think about that judgment hour and say to yourself, now, I am past the danger of being damned. Now I have a promise from God that my soul shall not be cast into hell. Friend, what do you mean by thinking that way? Beloved people, what do you think? How can you hear this and not be concerned? How can you eat and drink and sleep as if you were not in danger of hell? Can you bear the wrath of God, the torments of the damned? Can you endure it? If you can, then let Christ alone. But I say, to speak about the torments of hell is something altogether different than to literally be in them, which you cannot imagine. Oh, friends, listen to this counsel. For one that earnestly desires the salvation of your souls. For God commands you to act without delay today to yield obedience to all his commands.